Curtain going up, please. Curtain going up. Once again, we usher our audience to the air into their seats in our imaginary playhouse. As the house lights dim and the footlights brighten, our curtain rises on another of the Curtain Going Up series. As usual, your host and commentator is Don Buell, professor of speech at Michigan State University, who brings you 15 minutes of theater news and reviews as gathered from here, there, and everywhere. And now, by recording, here is Mr. Buell.
Well, thank you, Mr. Gaynor. One of the busiest streets in New York is the area on 44th and 45th Street, just off Broadway. And one of the busiest times is from about, let's say, 10:45 to 11:30. Now, Broadway knows that this is going to be the busy hour because this is the end of the evening productions at those 10 or 12 theaters that are crowded in to those two or three blocks. Now, the same thing is true at the end of a season. We know that come May 31st, Broadway's year is actually over. Its business year goes through to June 30th, but there will be no productions coming in June. Rarely, if any, do you find those, rarely do you find any of those coming in, at least. So by May 31st, the season has wound itself up, and for better or for worse, the chapter is closed and the history is written. Now, this particular season we have been covering for the last 30 weeks, and of course Broadway has been going a little longer than that. This has been going 9 months, from September through to May, or to June. This season is going to carry with it probably not too happy memories. This was not, shall we say, one of the most successful years by any means, and in many cases the critics and the public found that there was a great deal to be disappointed about. As a matter of fact, long toward the middle of the season there in the wintry days of February and the blustery days of March, there were certain critics that said this is about the worst year we have had in the last 25. Well, let's not go quite that far, but it wasn't, let's say, one of the most brilliant seasons that Broadway has had. But we did have some very good entertainment coming in, we did have some very interesting plays coming up again, and we did have some very fine acting and directing and staging, I guess is what we're trying to say here, scene staging work done. And so, by and large, yes, while we may be very happy that the year has ended and the season is over, still there are going to be things that we'll want to remember. Now, statistically, well, the figures aren't exactly accurate as yet because there are usually one or two minor variations when the statisticians settle down to do that job. But roughly, from where we sit at least, there have been 54 productions that came in, and about 12 of those so far are indicated as hits. There are about another 6 that are on the question mark list. Not quite paid off as yet, but it looks as if they're going to. So that will mean then that there will be 18 out of that 54, and that's running about the average percentage. We usually find that we're lucky if maybe 15 or 20% of the productions that come in the course of a year can be checked over onto the general heading of successes. Fall was a very busy time. We had 26 productions that came in from Labor Day right up through to New Year's Eve. And out of those 26 productions, there were 8 of them that stayed around, and I think we could classify them as hits. There were 18 of them that definitely went down the drain as misses. Winter wasn't quite so busy, and this is rather typical of Broadway's year. Usually the heaviest time will be the fall months from September, the mid-September point, let's say, right through to January 1st. Because, of course, if a critic is, or if a producer is going to make any money, he's got to get this show in early and start selling it to those packed-in houses. So you'll find that mainly the producer is eyeing from September through to January as his favorite time. Winter, there were 18 productions. Two of them out-and-out hits, one of them, well, still hanging grimly on, and the chances are pretty good that it will make, and 15 in this case that were misses. And spring, well, spring always tapers off. And there were a total of 9 productions in this time, and that's just about standard for the last 3 months, the April and, or the March, April, and May, or the April and May and June set up here. Only 9 productions in. Two of those, however, were hits. This was about as good as winter can boast. Two of them were hits. 3 of them, well, these were revivals. And when you get a revival, there's always a big fat question mark on that, because do they intend to make money or don't they, or are they just doing it for the sheer fun of doing the show? There were 4 out-and-out misses. So that means then that there were, just to summarize again, 54 productions in. There were 12 of them that were hits, 6 of them that were still on the borderline, and 37 of them that were out-and-out failures. Well, now let's take a look at the 12 hits and see what the quality is here. 5 of these, again, were musicals. And that isn't too surprising, because the musical is the popular form when it comes to the New York audience, and especially to the out-of-town audience. We like the musicals. And those musicals this year, well, they were not too bad. We started the season very early with a young man, or 2 young men from Britain, coming over here to do an intimate type of review, the show called At the Drop of the Hat. And this ran right straight through until very late in the season, and will be on the road next year, incidentally, so you may have an opportunity of seeing it. Then in the October months as well, or no, this was in November, the production of Take Me Along, which starred Jackie Gleason and Walter Pidgeon and Eileen Hurley, Bob Morse and Una Merkel, and this was the musical version of Eugene O'Neill's Wilderness. And in spite of the fact that they added in some necessary and unnecessary music, Take Me Along still settled down to a very satisfactory run. Then in early, or mid-November, rather, the great Rodgers and Hammerstein production of The Sound of Music. And this started out with the $2 million advanced box office sale, so how could it help but go up anywhere but up? And this is exactly what has happened to it ever since. Tickets are still scarce, and although the critics didn't find this very much to their liking, and this perhaps is not the greatest R&H that we've had, still it is head and shoulders above the average. And then the surprise of surprises that came in shortly after this, Fiorello. And this was not supposed to be much of anything. This could have slipped into town and slipped out very quietly had it not been for the very loving work that was put on this show by so many people, and perhaps the fine know-how that was brought to it by Mr. George Abbott as he recreated again the era of his great friend and of his well-known friend, Mr. Mayor of Fiorello, H. LaGuardia. And this, of course, was where Mr. Tom Bosley made his record, a newcomer to the Broadway scene that we were talking about last week. Then we had to wait all the way through until late in the spring for the next musical. Well, there were 3 or 4 that came in and went out in a hurry. But the next musical that came in was also an unexpected number, and this one was called Bye Bye Birdie. And this took the Rock and Rollers apart. This is a very exuberant number, and this has been added to the Broadway picture late in the season, and it is just beginning to gather its momentum as we are making this tape, and it looks as if this is going to be one of the season's majors. So there you are, then, with the musicals, and there were 5 of them. Now, equally strong this year were the dramas, and this seems to be, again, a favorite type of play for the New York scene. And we are apt to find in the course of a season that there are going to be some very, very strong contributions here. And this again was the case with The Miracle Worker. This was the William Gibson play that dealt with the story of Helen Keller and Annie Sullivan. And this was, of course, such wonderful work, provided an opportunity for such wonderful work that was done by Miss Anne Bancroft and Miss Peggy Duke. So very early in the season then, The Miracle Worker came in, established itself as the #1 box office draw, and has maintained that box office draw for almost the 9 months, and probably will continue well over into next season. Then, shortly after this was in November, Mr. Paddy Chayefsky's most interesting and offbeat play, The Tenth Man. And this was perhaps one of the most unusual plays that Broadway saw this year because of its background and its setting. This was in a Jewish synagogue, and the problem concerned itself with the excoriating of a dibbuk, or a devil, that had taken hold of a very beautiful young granddaughter of one of the older patriarchs of the synagogue. Then, just at the Christmas season, came a British import that has held attention by the brutality of the show itself, and yet by its great good graces and good manners. This is the production of Peter Schaeffer's called Five Finger Exercise, and here is a British family being dissected under the glare and the spotlight of a very able playwright. This was followed just before the New Year with the story of the Andersonville trial, that brutal part of history that told of the man's inhumanity to man. Then, late in the season, came Miss Lillian Hellman's first play in 8 or 9 years. This one was called Toys in the Attic, and this also added to the grimness of the season. So there, then, are the five dramas that came in. The Miracle Worker, The Tenth Man, Five Finger Exercise, at the Andersonville trial, and Toys in the Attic. Now, you'll notice that out of these 12, there are only 2 spots left for comedy. And this is perhaps the major surprise of this season. Why can't we laugh? Why can't our playwrights bring us into the theater with a joyous idea or with a fun idea? But for some reason, this is not a laughter time. And so this season, we have had only 2 major contributions to this field of comedy. One of these perhaps is a little more serious than comedy, but we'll just tuck it over into comedy anyway. The first was Mr. James Thurber's compilation under the general title of The Thurber Carnival, and here again was where this delightful humor of this very delightful author came to the fore under the expert hands of Mr. Burgess Meredith and some of the fine players that were in there, Tom Ewell and Peggy Cass and Alice Ghostly and Paul Ford. And then the timely production that Mr. Gore Vidal wrote, a play called The Best Man. And this will be running through at least until November, that we know, because it is the story of what happens behind scenes in those smoke-filled rooms in the hotels when a great national convention is making its choice for its national, or for its top nominee for the presidency. So there, then, were the 12 hits of this year. Perhaps not as great plays in any one case as we have had out of some of the other seasons, but highly entertaining and a very fine opportunity for a great many people. Oh, there were disappointments too, yes, let's face it. This was a bad year for the French. Oh, this was a very bad year for the French, because we've had a translation after translation, and it has gone down the drain in a hurry. We started very early with the Colette novel dramatization of Sherry with Kim Stanley, the Ennui play The Fighting Cock that brought in Rex Harrison, The Good Soup that brought in Ruth Gordon, the production of Duel of Angels that was in only for a very brief time, a Girardot play. None of these have made such a major contribution. Perhaps the biggest disappointment of the season was the William Inge play A Loss of Roses and the Robert Anderson play Silent Night, Lonely Night. The big disappointment, of course, Caligula, the Albert Camus play. And so there were, yes, there were down moments. And there were moments when we wondered whether or not Broadway knew what it was doing. But when you get such fine, heartwarming moments as you get in The Miracle Worker and in Fiorello and in The Sound of Music and in Take Me Along and such penetrating moments as you get in The Best Man, well, maybe Broadway hasn't slipped too far, even so. Well, that is the season. We have enjoyed doing this series of tapes for you. We hope that you, too, have enjoyed your 15 minutes of play going along Broadway. And now, the time again has come for our good friend and boon companion, a gentleman by the name of Gordon Gaynor, to remind you that...
You have been listening to Don Buell, professor of speech at Michigan State University, and his weekly chat about the theater. With this program, Mr. Buell concludes his 5th year of broadcasting for the NAEB network. We hope that you have enjoyed these programs, and until you again hear the crowd and the sound of the buzzer inviting you to your good aisle seats for another season of playgoing, this is Gordon Gaynor speaking for Mr. Buell and bidding you a very pleasant goodbye. This program has come to you by recording from the campus of Michigan State University, through the facilities of the National Association of Educational Broadcasters. This is the NAEB Radio Network.